class, okay? Now, it's such a theology class, I almost feel like I should take my little podium down there and teach as a class. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 and 2, so you can be looking at it. We're going to just read it. It's real short. I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord
so comes as a thief
in the night. Oh, wow. Pretty interesting. What a loaded phrase. Because really, I should have quotes around thief in the night, because that's also a particular phrase that some of the authors use. And if you remember, we just finished listening to Paul talk to the Thessalonians and us about the rapture. Now, if you weren't here last week, then it's on the website. You can listen to it. But we went through the basics of the rapture and in chapter 4, and now we're up to 5, 1, and 2. And he's saying that they know the times and the seasons, but not the exact time. It's not like April 2nd, 2017 at 2:03 p.m. It's not, that's not what he's saying. He knows the signs and the seasons, and he's told them, and now we're going to look at those signs and seasons, because no one knows the exact time of the signs except our Father in heaven, Christ said in Acts chapter 1. So we're going to look at our timeline. Now, you have this in your bulletin, so if you get your bulletin out, I'm telling you, I'm asked this question every week. Where does the tribulation fall? Where does the thousand-year reign? Where are we on the timeline? What's the end times? And that kind of thing. So I thought, you know what? I'm just throwing it in the bulletin. So now you can go home and kiss it every once in a while and understand what God's saying here. Just kidding. All right. So let me just explain, okay? See the little eye on the left-hand side? That's the eye of the prophet, and that bottom line is a line all the way through that the scriptures have talked into the future, and Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel and so on. Now, you see that little cloud there, and it says, an interruption in prophecy, the body of Christ, that's where we live. The particular era that we're in was never talked about until Paul the Apostle came on the scene and explained this mystery, the secret hidden. And if you want to know what that is, just look at Ephesians 3, 1 through 9, and Colossians 1, 24 through 27, and it'll explain it, because now he's reached out to us as Gentiles, but it was never in the prophecy lines. That's why I have it below. Okay. And then when we get done, the first one we have after our rapture out is the seven-year tribulation. We don't know if there's time before or time after that. Then we have the thousand-year reign of Christ, who rules with a rotted iron and brings all people in all countries under his feet in terms of authority. And he's going to be the first leader that's really a good leader for 6,000 years. Then we have, you see those two little lines? That's where Satan's let loose, and there's a battle of Armageddon. And when that's done, God completely wipes out the universe and the earth. And then all people are judged, and that's him on the judgment seat. And then we have the new heavens and new earth. Okay, so does that all make sense on the timeline? Okay, so if you kind of keep that timeline in your head, you'll be able to understand what's going on. All right, so the day of the Lord is contrasted with the day of man. And so you see on the left hand, we have the day of man to rule over himself. Then the day of the Lord starts right with the rapture. And as we go up, God gets very active, and he is now the Lord of the earth. Okay, right now, who's the Lord of the earth? Satan. Okay, and he takes over, and there's battles, and it's a nightmare through the tribulation. I'm so glad we're going to be raptured out, and I hope that they built a great stadium in heaven so we can sit and cheer watching the thing. But I'm glad we're watching it and not in it. Okay, so the day of the Lord contrasted with the day of man, and right now you say, well, wait a minute, how did you get to the day of man? We see the phrase day of Lord. Let me just read this from Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by whom? God. Okay? So God has allowed man to rule himself and governments and authorities, okay? So the day of the Lord is the Lord ruling over man, and is used in the Bible to refer to the rapture, okay? To the tribulation, to the second coming. The tribulation is that 7 years that you see. The second coming, the destruction of the universe, where in 2 Peter 3, he says there's a big bang. So we're going to have the big bang. But it's going to totally wipe out the universe and the earth. And then in just the spotlight's going to be on Christ, and he's going to be judging. And then the reconstruction of the earth and the heavens. And that will be a day. It'll be exciting to see. All right, the next is in Acts chapter 2, Peter quotes the prophet Joel, and in Joel 2, 31 and 32, and this is in Acts 20 and 21, and he says, the sun shall be darkened or turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of that great and awesome day of the Lord. Now, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the second coming. Okay, that's the day of the Lord, where Christ comes back and touchdowns on, and we talked about this last week, on the Mount of Olives, and there's a big earthquake that comes, and he begins to rule from the temple, and the temple which isn't even built now, okay? And he rules from the temple, and out of that, he'll be, we'll have a 1,000-year reign, and living water will flow out from under the temple all the way down to the Dead Sea. And it's just going to be a pretty amazing thing. And he's going to rule the earth and bring it into submission to do what God wants them to do. That's going to be a beautiful time. All right, so Paul and Peter say the same thing. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And I'm going to read that. And let me just read that from 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm getting too fast on my notes here. And where the heavens disappear and so on. So it says in 1 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Isn't that just exactly what Paul said? Paul said, use those exact same words, which helps us understand that the thief in the night is an expression of unexpected surprise. So he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. And it's a great bang, is the way it's translated. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. And these are two entirely different events, but they say exactly the same thing, which is why some scholars have gotten things kind of mixed up. All right, so let's go on to the next slide. And what we have is... for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. All right? That's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, our scripture for today. And Paul uses that phrase for three times in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he uses it for the rapture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he uses it for the rapture. And now here in Thessalonians chapter 5, he uses it again. Then Peter, again, says the day of the Lord in 2 Peter 3 in a different context, where we talked about the melting, and I read that. And so we come to Peter talking about the rapture, the second coming, and the destruction of the universe, like I said. And you may be thinking, as a student of prophecy, that the second coming is exactly 7 years long, right? Most of you know that's the last week of Daniel, which the weeks represent years, and so there's 7 years. And so why would the second coming be unexpected, right? If you just count the days up and the hours and everything, you've got it, right? Well, Jesus slipped in this little thought for us that kind of confuses us a little bit. And he says this, for then there will be a great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were what? Shortened. Oh, dang. Now we don't have good timing here. Unless those days were shortened, and the word actually means reduced in number, okay, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And so it'll be somewhere less than 7 years. All right, so now we got, it comes as a thief in the night, okay? This unexpected surprise, and I find that very frustrating. If you like prophecy and end times, it's very frustrating that we can't get a date, you know? And we call this in theological circles eschatology. And what it means is the end times or the future prophesied, foretold in our Bible. And I find it exciting, and it's kind of like a magic show in a way when you stop to think about it, because all these great and huge things are going to come. And I can say great and huge things because we're going to watch God do what he really needs to do to get the world and the people straightened out. And I want us to look at Daniel chapter 12, 9 through 11, if you are 9 and 10, if you have your Bibles. Daniel is just a little past the halfway point. You go to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. And I want to look at this great tribulation in the second coming as he talks about it, because there's two people that really talk about the end times, and that is Daniel and John in the book of Revelation. And so in verse 9 of Daniel 12, it says, "And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Now, it doesn't mean the end of time. It means the time of the end, and that's his phrase for those end days of tribulation and the second coming, okay, and the thousand-year reign. "Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Why? Because it's already written, and all of a sudden it'll make sense. Now, in other words, as much as we'd like to accurately define and translate this, the times and the events of today's understanding, what Daniel is told by the angel Michael is it's closed up and sealed. So we're going to not know. And, you know, I think about that. And we who are wise in the scriptures will see it from heaven. The people on earth who know the scripture will be wise to it. And they'll see exactly what's coming down. They can explain it all just like we'd like to do now, right? And, you know, I remember when I first came to Christ. And I don't know. I immediately was really interested in the end times, and I sat through a guy that was teaching on the end times and the book of Revelation, and people asked me about once a month, will you preach on the book of Revelation? And I usually tell them, no, because we don't understand it. It's sealed up. Daniel said it's sealed up until that time, and so we can kind of get adrift. But what people are really asking me is, can you tell me, is that a helicopter? You know, those scorpions and so on and so forth. And, you know, as I grew and, you know, I used to listen to that. I remember when Hal Lindsey came out with The Late Great Planet Earth. How many read that? Okay. All right. All two of us. Okay. It was a pretty popular book back in the 70s and Hal Lindsey wrote it, and so he said, well, this is going to be a helicopter, and this is going to be this, and this is going to be that. And we're thinking, wow, this is so great. And then times change, and it doesn't fit. So then he had an upgrade to his book, and that was really great. And then the times changed, and so he had to upgrade the book again. I don't know how many times he upgraded it, because he had to change it because things changed in our world. And so pretty soon I got just kind of tired of trying to figure all that out, because it can't be figured out. We have the times and seasons, but we don't have the accuracy. And others have written on it, and we still don't know. I remember a friend of mine years ago decided after thorough study and reading all the scholars that the rapture was going to occur in September of 1981, and along with many other scholars, and you've heard it, right? You've heard it all through Christianity. It started, from 500 AD to the present of people guessing these things. I read that in Wikipedia. It was interesting. And so in 1981, in September, we would be raptured out. And it certainly didn't come, or we missed it, right? And it's quite popular for people to give these times, but it's kind of silly because it's a mystery and it's not known. And so we've had TV evangelists predict dates and times. In fact, the Adventists crawled up on the top of their roofs. All of them crawled up on the top of their roofs waiting for the second coming, not the rapture. And then, of course, it didn't happen. They had to crawl back off their roof and continue to live. The witnesses, the Jehovah's Witnesses, I believe were right smack dab in the middle of the tribulation. And when we read about the tribulation, does this seem like the tribulation? No, not at all. Wikipedia listed 44 publicized, very publicized prediction, like I say, from 500 AD up until the present. Let me just give you a couple examples of those. Mr. Harold Camping, and this was really well known, a lot of the TV evangelists picked it up, that in 2011, 3 million people would be saved and the whole rest of the earth would perish. Okay? You must have to belong to his church. I don't know. And that was in May 21st, 2011. Okay? We missed that. So when it didn't happen, he modified it and said, well, what I really meant was this is spiritual salvation for those 3 million, and that it really is going to happen in October 21st of 2011. That went by, and oops, it didn't happen either. Another well-known TV preacher predicted Christ was coming back in 2012. And so after that date, he quieted his predictions but said, we can know the exact time, but hasn't given us an exact time yet. All right. The latest example is one that I was confronted with, and I got a CD and a book and that kind of thing from a person on the blood moon. You remember that one? The blood moon. And so, and I'm not saying these are bad. These guys have good calculations and it sounds really good. It's just that we don't know. And so, September 28th, 1950, at the lunar eclipse, by the way, September is the beginning of the Hebrew calendar. And in there, we have the day of redemption and forgiveness and all that kind of thing going, all these celebrations. So they feel like that's really a good place where the rapture could happen. And so it was called the blood moon prophecy because during this lunar piece, when the moon covers the sun, the moon turns to red blood, like we read, and then it kind of blots out and darkens the sun. Problem is, only happens in a certain part of the earth, okay? And so I heard a lot of people talking about this blood moon thing. I didn't read on it because I'm not going to waste my time, to be honest with you. I know it's not going to happen, you know? And if it does, great. I'll get to heaven and say, okay, I'm sorry. It was the blood moon, you know? But don't think it's going to happen. And so the reason I'm telling you this is be careful because there are people out there telling you all kinds of things about prophecy, things that are going to happen, and it's a bunch of nonsense when you get down to it. Here's what Jesus told his disciples about his coming. Therefore, when they, the disciples, had come together, they asked him, saying, and this is in Acts chapter 1, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons. Okay? So when we say we know the times and seasons, we're kind of not being accurate, okay? For it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put into his own authority. So only the Father knows when he's going to react. In other words, no one on earth will know. Okay? Did I just yell? Oh. And you say, Steve, why are you preaching on this? Because I want to save you from a lot of headache, a lot of banging your head against the wall, listening to all these things. Because I see people get caught up in it, even in this church and that kind of thing, and they get going. Then it happens, they're totally discouraged. They don't come to church for a while because they feel embarrassed and all that kind of thing. No one will know when the rapture's coming. Is that clear or is that a little foggy? Yeah, okay. So when we get to chapter 5, it says in closing, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as what? A thief in the night, an unexpected surprise. And so we can't calculate it. And that's why Paul, and we're going to get into chapter 5 where he tells you to prepare yourself and serve God until that very day in which he takes us. And that's what we should be about, isn't it? So what is our hope? The appearing of our great God and Savior, who is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what our hope is. Our hope is waiting for him to come. And until then, it's a time when we want to serve him and do our best. My goal in my life is I want to be endure. I want to be about God's business till my very last breath. I'm kind of hoping I'm either in the pulpit or teaching a Sunday school when that's it. He's gone. You know, pass the potato salad. You know, one of those kind of things. You know, I want to serve him till last. What's your goal in life? Is your goal in life to build a bigger house or make more money and that kind of thing? Yeah, doesn't that seem kind of silly when you think about the presence of Jesus Christ coming for us, and then in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, off we go to the great grandstands in the sky where we're going to watch all this happen. I can't wait. I'm so excited about it. And then we're going to see all that prophecy fulfilled. We're going to see Daniel. I believe Daniel and John will be right in the mix there, because those are two writers, and we're going to see them. And we're going to be able to, but the greatest thing is we're going to be able to put our arms around Jesus and thank him for what he did on the cross, huh? Oh, he saved us from our sin. And you know that every day as you go along and you're tempted or things are going on in your life, aren't you glad that Christ loves us and he's dismissed all that? And we're going to be with him there. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning. We thank you. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the times and seasons, and we can see basically what's happening through the words of the Bible. But Lord, help us not to get caught up in the schemes. Help us to stay out of that. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to keep our eyes on you while we serve and love one another and love you till that day that you come and get us. Our heads are bowed. You may have come this morning and maybe you don't have a relationship with God. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard. And a little bit later says the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 tells us how we can invite Christ into our hearts. And he explains it and he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means he's boss of your life, and that he rose from the dead, you will be saved. Those two things, that you believe he's Lord, that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning and you don't have that relationship with Christ and would like to have that, I'm going to pray a little prayer and you pray that along with me, realizing you're going to ask Christ to come into your life first time and be a part of Christ's life. And the prayer goes like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. Be the boss of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said. And because of that, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. Well, is there still doubt? If you did that this morning, you prayed that prayer, will you raise your hand? Let us pray for you. Let God know you mean business this morning. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that not only the adults, but the kids could put their faith in you. And we're excited about that, Lord. Help us to be about your business till that day that you appear in the sky and the trumpet blows and we hear our name and you call us to be with you forever. You said, comfort yourself with these words. And Lord, we are comforted with that because it'll all be over. So until then, Lord, help us to serve you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.